Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't forget, we will have a tribute to John Feinstein, who passed away suddenly yesterday. We'll do that at 8 o'clock during his normal Fridays with Feinstein time slot that he did here with us for 13 years. We'll also have Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post columnist, one of his colleagues at the Post at 8:25, and Mike Wilbon, co-host of PTI, also a longtime Washington Post columnist. He'll join the show at 9 o'clock to help pay tribute to the late John Feinstein. Also, Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, coming up in just about 20 minutes.
So, Jason, maybe you can fill me in. I'm a little familiar with this story about the Loudoun County girl who went to Punta Cana and went missing. It seems like there's an update in the case that they're questioning the guy that she was with at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, she's a University of Pittsburgh student. She was down there with her friends for spring break, and she's clearly missing. I think we all kind of know what happened to her. Whether or not she drowned or she was murdered, we don't know. But there is a person of interest. I'm not sure what the latest is as in terms of the questioning that the police, the DR police were giving him. I just know that this is a very, very disturbing story because, you know, anytime your daughters, if you have daughters, go on spring break, you're always worried about that.
Daughters or sons. I mean, any of your kids go on spring break, you're worried about
them. Sure, but you're certainly worried about girls because they can be taken advantage of if that's exactly what happened. But this is just, it's a scary story, man. It really is. And it's local because it's Loudoun County. I think she went to Loudoun County High School. This is just a really, really
nightmare.
It's a tough thing to deal with if you're a father. It really is. Now, I just got back from spring break with my daughter. We went to Florida. My daughter's her last spring break. She said, you know what? All my friends are going to different spots. One was going to Mexico. One was going to, I think, the Dominican. One was going to Key West. She goes, I don't know where to go because all my friends are going to different spots. She goes, let's just go somewhere as a family. I said, in. Went to Florida for 5 days.
Nice.
That was awesome. Glad she told me that. But this is a really bad story.
Did both daughters go or just?
Both daughters, yeah.
Wow. Got the whole band back together.
Very good.
Down
love
to
it.
Anna Maria Island, which was a really cool spot. But this is it's a scary story, man. It really is.
So the student says he left her on the beach, like alive. He says they were kissing and making out in the water, and they were getting like sucked out. He says that he swallowed a bunch of seawater. He is apparently a wrestler in high school, and they struggled to get back to the shore, and he says they made it back to the shore, and when he got back there, he said he just left her there.
Yeah.
And she was fine. She was exhausted or tired, as he was, as so was he. But they also say he failed to answer key police questions.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that if they both were in the water struggling to get back, and then he's claiming that she got back, that he just like goes back to the hotel room, leaves her on the beach, and somehow she goes missing.
It's just scary when he's the last person to see her alive.
Well, you would have to take in consideration that they were probably heavily intoxicated.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So now, the Loudoun County Sheriff said it's possible she never went into the water. It's possible there's something else that could have happened. We can't just assume that's the case. So we have to presume that at this point, anything is possible. And that's why they're looking at every single option. They're using drones in the search.
No, it's just a terrifying story when your daughter goes away for what you think is a week-long spring break trip and then doesn't return and goes missing. It's every parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah, and this kid who's he's from Iowa.
Okay.
That she is, she met on the beach. He's under surveillance. He's under 24-hour surveillance. As of yesterday, I believe. I'm not sure if he's allowed to leave to go back to the United States. I'm not sure about that because they say he's not a suspect. So whatever questioning he was given and whatever answers he gave, I guess it was sufficient because they say he's still not a suspect. If he was, they wouldn't let him leave.
So he's not in a Dominican jail presently. he's just under surveillance.
What proof would they have?
Yeah, they don't have.
You know what I mean? They just have her missing. And I guess the witness accounts that he was the last person with her.
Is it possible that they were just exhausted and drunk and they get back to the shore and he says he passed out like in a chair or something, right, sat down and woke up to mosquitoes biting him on the sunrise and just kind of came to and walked back to his hotel room. He didn't see her.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you theorizing that?
I don't know.
Make it back.
It is possible.
I would like to give the...
And then she gets swept back out. Like, by the maybe current, she passes out, like, too close. The tide comes in.
Yeah, tide comes in and takes her out.
I mean, I guess that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility.
But I thought I read somewhere that, according, like, her body would have washed ashore. It wouldn't have been sucked back out.
Right. At some point, it would come back.
Okay. Yeah.
You would think, unless there's some sort of riptide.
Yeah,
don't riptides take you just out and you just keep going unless you go sideways?
Even though I kind of disrespect riptides, yes, that's what they do.
I would love to know the answers that the police are saying there were some answer or questions he didn't answer.
Right.
Would love to know what those questions were.
What was he evasive about if that's the case?
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in.
Maybe they asked if he had sex with her and he didn't want to admit to it.
Could you end up moving forward and prosecuting a kid if you have absolutely no evidence? It's circumstantial.
I don't think
he's the last one with her, and then she goes missing.
I don't think so.
I don't think he could either.
Could he not answer the questions because maybe he was so drunk he doesn't remember stuff?
He could have been blackout drunk, just does not remember.
All right, so this...
Which is also a convenient excuse if he did remember.
During the questioning with officials... I don't know how to say his name. Reby?
Ribe or Rebe. Yeah.
Okay. Declined to answer 8 crucial questions about the case, giving the same 14-word response to each inquiry. Mm. My lawyers advised me not to answer that question, and I follow their advice.
Mm.
Mm. And some of the questions it looks like were, how can we verify that everything you have said corresponds to the truth? What do you think about her disappearance?
He's lawyered up.
Yeah. Did you tell your friend what happened with you and the girl on the beach? How do you feel about this situation?
I'm going to remember that line if I ever get in a pickle. Write it down for me.
My lawyers advise me not to answer that question, and I follow their advice.
Thomas Mooney has advised me not to answer that question, and I follow Thomas Mooney's advice. I kind of stumbled on it.
I'm wondering if there was...
Guilty, yeah.
Yeah, so guilty.
Yeah, so much hemming and hawing.
Can't even get it out of my mouth once without stumbling and bumbling.
But
one of the travel companions said that she saw her on the beach around 5:50 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm just, what are the friends doing? The friends have to make sure she gets back to the hotel at 5 in the morning.
The friends need to go out. When they see her there, they have to go up to her and grab her by the arm or the shoulder and escort her back to her room.
And I understand.
Say, you know what? You've had too much evening.
These are 20-year-old kids. I know they're not going to make great decisions.
Right.
But you can't allow your friend to be hanging out on a beach at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning.
Agreed.
With some stranger. Sorry.
Unless it's like a big, like if there's 20 people there, that's fine. If you're having like a big like hangout, like borderline party out there, yeah, great. If it's one or two people and a person that she just met from, is this also a Pitt student?
No, he's from Iowa.
So he's just, okay.
I don't know if he went to Iowa.
Just a random stranger, that's when you go and you intervene. You try to help her out.
I can't even comprehend their state of mind at 5 in the morning when they're probably day drinking at the pool, all night drinking.
Right.
Because they're not waking up to go see the sunrise.
No. They're clearly all hammered.
Probably been going hard for a long, like you're saying.
She's a 20-year-old from Pitt.
Right.
Yeah. The 24-year-old is Rebe.
Yes.
The group was with them, supposedly, at 4 a.m. And then the group was seen leaving the beach or heading out to the beach and stayed there until 5:50. So at 5:50 a.m., they leave. Sunrise isn't that far away. I would be curious to know when sunrise is. At 5:50 in the morning, and that's when they left the couple, let's call them a couple, on the beach, Rebe and the missing 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility that it was something that was accidental and he's freaked out because he knows what's looming for him?
Now, he's had three different stories, according to this article in the New York Post. I mean, that doesn't bode well for him, but I just wonder what happens if they never find her body.
I don't know what the laws are in the Dominican, but I just don't think you can charge him. Has he taken a lie detector?
I'm going to guess if they could have charged him, they would have charged him by now. Yeah, right? Well, or is there just not enough evidence?
So version number one, he tells the police he threw up from rough surf and went back to the shore, asked her if she was okay.
Okay.
Second version, he said he felt sick to his stomach, left the water, saw her in the knee-deep surf, passed out.
Okay.
Final version, he told authorities that he saw the woman walking along the shore before he fell asleep.
Hmm.
I mean, they're kind of similar, some of those.
Yeah, I mean, he was sick, and he passed out. There was security camera footage that saw her with the dude walking, you know, hand in hand at 4:17. Now, this was March 6th, so this is 8 days ago. She was apparently last seen on the beach outside the resort at 4:50, just before 6 a.m. Her friends went back to the hotel, but Kanaki was not with them. So what was going on between 4:50 and 6? That's the question.
Yeah.
It's a horrible story. Horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Just feel for the parents and her family. I don't know if she has siblings, but just feel awful for that family.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we'll hear more in the next few days, but this has already been 8 days. You know?
I don't understand. If it's a resort, right?
Yeah.
So, like, how is the beach/surf that rough at a resort, right?
Usually isn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't build a resort on a place where the water is just ripping like that, and it's dangerous.
I don't know.
Well, that's why they're not just searching the water. They're searching other places.
That's true, too.
It's just a great unknown. If you believe his account, one of his accounts was she was still in the water, knee deep.
Well, so even the riptide being so strong that they struggled to get back, like a resort wouldn't be built on a part of a beach where it's that insane.
Yes and no. I mean, I would think that it wouldn't be the case, but I know Puerto Rico the best. I know there are some places where they would be considered resorts or really nice hotels where the water can get really, really rough. And so it just kind of depends. And a lot of these places in at that time of night, there's not going to be lifeguards, but a lot of these places don't have lifeguards. They'll just have signs that say,
right, swim at your own risk.
Exactly.
Type of deal.
Apparently, there was a power outage at some point. I'm not sure if it was that day or the day before, but there was a power outage and the security cameras were out for a few hours. I think maybe for 12 hours, something like that. But they said by the time she was on the beach, the power was restored. So they do have footage of her. They just don't know what happened to her.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
It really is.
Terrible story. They've got the person of interest.
This is a national story. It's not just a local story.
Yeah, because it's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a mystery right now. I mean, you would think that maybe she's, you know, swept into the ocean. That's why they've got the drones and they're looking. Mm-hmm. But you don't know that. Mm-hmm. You don't know that for sure. And there was no signs of blood on the beach. So no signs of violence. Don't know.
I mean, if she just passed out because she was so hammered and she just passed out right there on the beach, I mean, the water could have, she could have drowned.
Or if like the guy, one of the guy's three stories was he passed out and the last time he saw her, she was in knee-deep water.
Yeah.
Well, if she has like an elevated BAC, she's in knee-deep water. If she falls down in that water, she could easily just get swept out into the ocean.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, JP said, it's a mystery. We don't know what ultimately happened.
But they haven't charged this kid. They haven't, you know, labeled him a suspect.
Entirely innocent.
I'm now reading that he was free to leave, so he may be back in Iowa.
Right.
Yeah. He may not be in the country anymore. So it's horrible.
Anyway, we will keep you up to date if anything breaks regarding this story. We have to pivot. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little Washington Wizards. They got a win last night against the Detroit Pistons. Will Dawkins, their GM, joins us next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It is our pal Will Dawkins, Wizards GM. He's powered by Verizon. Hey, Will.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing?
What's up, Will?
We're doing all right.
Actually, I'm a little bit depressed that my man Bilal Coulibaly sidelined with a hamstring strain. I'm taking some time to process it, Will. I'm not doing great with it.
It's okay. It's not a big deal. It's just a strain.
It's my guy. I've got a lot invested in Bilal, kind of like you, Will.
Exactly. No, disappointing to see him get injured, but when we saw it happen live, we were just happy it wasn't worse because that was a scary fall.
Yeah, for sure it was. I mean, you look like that guy could snap his back or something. I mean, is that horrific?
Yeah, we were very fortunate it was just the hamstring. But, again, we got to be cautious and be smart. And he'll have a tremendous offseason just like he did last year. So, sucks in the moment, but big picture, he'll be okay.
How about that Alex Saar block last night?
Which one? He only had four.
No, the highlight one.
Was that on Cunningham?
Big time.
Cunningham was coming in for, like, a left-handed dunk. He thought it was going to be a left-handed dunk. And Saar said no.
Said no, no, no.
Not on me.
I mean, that's a great win, Will. I mean, and you don't pay attention to this. I do, but you guys were pretty significant underdogs. Pistons are going to the playoffs, and they've been playing pretty well. And you guys go on the road and put up 129. Man, that's impressive.
Yeah, that was a good team win for us. It showed our resilience. Obviously, we played them twice in a row, kind of like a playoff series, and they brought a real physicality to that game. The first game, I thought we fought back, and then we're able to kind of make some adjustments, and you just saw the confidence of the young players yesterday come through. But Troy Weaver drafted some pretty high-level players and left the Pistons in a really good spot, and to see that team headed where they're headed, they're going to be good for a long time because of all he's been able to do, and we were able to kind of match their physicality and match their talent last night, and it was a good, resilient team win for sure.
Yeah, I see the Pistons rise as kind of hope for what you're doing here with the Wizards. I mean, this is a team that you guys beat last night that had missed the playoffs for five straight years, but they're going to make the playoffs this year. You see the ascending talent there with Cade Cunningham and company. They're going to make a playoff bid in year, I guess, six of their rebuild. Hopefully it's quicker, obviously, for you. You're hoping for quicker results, but do you kind of mirror what they're doing, see what they're doing over in Detroit and say, this is kind of also the plan here?
Yeah, I think every rebuild is done differently. I thought Troy Weaver, I'm biased, but I thought he did a tremendous job drafting and leaving them with a lot of flexibility and cap space this year to kind of make that jump that they wanted to. But kudos to them for sticking to their plan and having a plan in place and then it kind of sowing the benefit of it right now. But for us, we're happy where we're at. We're going to continue to kind of build on our pace. But again, there's opportunities to do it different ways, and they're having success right now.
How much of it, Will, is, and I know there's probably no answer, but how much of the rebuild process is luck and how much is, you know, by design?
Yeah, I couldn't put a percentage on it. You definitely have to get lucky in terms of your positioning and with some of the lottery balls.
Right.
But you put a plan in place. You have a couple exit ramps where you can get off if you need to, if it doesn't go your way. But for the most part, it's strategically driven, and you just got to be fortunate where you're at sometimes with the ping pong balls, but also with how you evaluate. And I think you control a lot of that.
Right. I remember talking to you shortly after the draft. We all did collectively last year. And obviously, Saar was the star of the draft. And the other two kids, you're like, oh, we'll see what we got. I kind of think you got to think you got like three steals. Bub has been amazing. Just such a gritty guy. Keyshawn, he's in your starting lineup. I mean, his potential, I think, is through. Like, are you kind of like you knew they could maybe be good, but will you acknowledge like you didn't even really quite know what you had, and now you're just like, wow, we hit home runs there?
Yeah, I think it's still a little early to say we hit the home runs on these guys, But I would say we knew that first night we hit home runs on them as people and as them as workers, and we knew the upside that they had. And then it's on them to kind of realize it with the resources that we provide and the player development plan that we put in place. But to the credit for all three, they've really hit the ground running, and Brian's given them opportunities to play. And like we talked about, the best thing for rookie players is just experience and opportunities, and it helps the rate that they're growing at. But Bub's been someone that we've been impressed with ever since we laid eyes on him in college, and we kind of follow his story being so close and so local, and he's still growing physically, but as a player, but he's as competitive and as fiery as it gets, and putting Marcus Smart next to him is really helping him. And then Keyshawn, the way he started the year, people were having a few doubts on his shooting and things of that nature. I think he's 25 straight games with a three-pointer made, but the strides he's made defensively to where he's had five blocks in a couple games recently. So those guys they're up for the challenge. They're confident. They're believing in themselves, and they're growing. So we're very happy with where they're at through their first 60 games in the NBA.
Hey, Will, let's rewind a bit to your tenure in Oklahoma City. I'm going to allow you to toot your own horn here, because if you were the guy that spearheaded acquiring SGA from the Clippers, I just want to give you 1,000 rounds of applause, because that was a masterstroke. Can you take us through how you acquired him, when he was on your radar, and most importantly, were you the guy kind of standing on the table like, we got to acquire this guy. We need to swipe him away from the Clippers. Go ahead. Compliment yourself if you want.
Just like everything we do here
collaborative,
in Washington, it's
a
always
collaborative
a group decision.
Yeah, okay.
Always a collaborative effort.
All right.
But we had plenty of opportunities where we had all-star talent players there, and we're always trying to find the best value when you're doing deals. And he's someone that the group in Oklahoma City identified as a future player for them, and I think they knocked that one out the park for sure.
Talking to Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM, who's powered by Verizon. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the rest of the landscape in the NBA, but I'm going to ask anyway. The Celtics are the prohibitive favorite, I think, to repeat, because they won and they really didn't lose anybody. But man, the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think people are disrespecting them because they don't expect them to be this good, but they've ripped off these winning streaks two different times this season, have a big lead in the Eastern Conference. Tell us about that Cleveland team and whether they could win it all.
Yeah, I don't see why they cannot. The parity has been really good in the NBA. Obviously, the Western Conference is always deep, always competitive. But when you have two younger, up-and-coming teams, like the Oklahoma Cities, like the Cleveland Cavaliers, kind of leading from beginning to end, that's unique. I think it shows you how important it is to give guys time to develop when they were able to pick in the top five how many different times with Evan Mobley, and then have an opportunity with Garland, have an opportunity right there with Okoro, and even Sexton, who they traded to go get Donovan. They've been able to build their team slowly and make sure that they knew the pieces they needed. Added to Jared Allen, I think since have been able to add some pretty good pieces along the edges and find veteran guys that fit, and a brand new coach to kind of tie it together. So they've been patient, and I think they knew when there was the right time to strike, and all things are hitting on the same cylinders right now. And I think there's a lot of teams that can win it this year. They're one of them, and I think that's really good for the NBA.
Yeah, it's amazing that they've won 15 in a row. Two different times this year.
Right.
That's incredible to me. I mean, it's not that easy to do. I mean, to have, and especially to have a 9-game lead over the defending NBA champs.
Yeah, that's really difficult to do. I think you're seeing the change in offense and defense. Them being able to defend with two bigs kind of makes it aggressive. But them in Oklahoma City, the margin of victory that they've both been able to have this year is probably more impressive than the actual winning streaks themselves.
Yeah.
Hey, Will. Was your heart in your throat a couple nights ago when Cooper Flagg sprained his ankle in the ACC tournament? What was that like? Take us through that. Take us through that.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday.
I may or may not have been there yesterday.
Oh, you saw it in person.
I would say the response from the rest of the team was pretty impressive afterwards. But,
right.
These NCAA tournament games so far have been pretty fun for fans, but also for us as evaluators.
Cakes is shutting down Cooper Flagg. until the draft lottery.
As long as I know he's going to the Wizards. If I don't know he's going to the Wizards, then he can play in the NCAA tournament. But I would advise him not to play, especially if he's coming here. I know you can't comment on it. That's just my medical opinion.
Will, do you think that NIL will keep maybe a couple of these top guys in, you know, because of the fact that they could maybe make not just NIL money, but, I mean, directly from the school, but, like, they could get shoe money or, you know, other endorsements that they can sort of get on their own?
I wouldn't say NIL is going to impact, like, the top projected guys in the draft just because they're going to make real NBA money, and all those shoe deals are probably going to be even more expensive, and they're going to make more money when they get into the NBA. So those endorsement deals don't necessarily go away for guys like them. I think guys who are debating to go late first, early second, deep in the second round, like those are the guys that will stay in the portal more so than those top guys because the salary difference is pretty huge, and then the endorsement deals are still going to be there.
Right.
It's nice to see the couple of those veterans that you acquired, Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart, have pretty good games last night, combined for 31 points.
Yeah, and aside from the points, they're bringing a toughness and an edge to the team consistently, and they're showing the guys the way and giving them confidence. So I think Brian's been able to kind of use their minutes strategically, and Marcus is proving that he's still Marcus Smart defensively, and Chris has proven that he's still a go-to scorer with size who can also facilitate getting Sar those two dunks rolling to the basket, just switching it up at the end of the game. And that's him and Alex just playing basketball, and that's the best part. When you're a coach, you don't have to call a play every single time. It's like, hey, make the right read and see how they're guarding you, and we were able to do that in crunch time. So for us, they've been helpful. We've been playing 500 basketball the last 10 or so, and it's really because the team's gelling. We're giving the young guys those opportunities, and those vets have come in and really helped us.
How do you know – sorry, last question on the whole process. It's just so interesting to us. How do you know that you're on the right track? Like you say, okay, the last 10 or whatever, we've been right there, I guess playing 500 ball. But is it like when you're key young players, you're seeing the growth of those guys? Like, how do you know, okay, you may be losing, but I know this, we're on the right path. We're doing great here, guys. Relax. How do you know that?
Yeah. It's hard sometimes to kind of look through the end result. Yeah. And again, that's not what's going to drive us at any point. I think the individual growth and development and the measures that we give our players, the key indicators that they have, those are shining through. They've been progressively getting better every single 10-game mark that we look at, but more importantly, the team as a whole and some of the key indicators we look at. And you're just looking at our defensive rating, our offensive rating, the amount of potential assists we're generating every game. Like, all those are climbing when they weren't where they needed to be at the beginning of the year. So when you start seeing that and you start seeing closer games and you're having an opportunity to kind of win some of those, you see the team success kind of matching the individual success that we've been seeing all year.
I don't know that we've ever asked you about Champagne. So he's got a twin brother in the league. You guys signed him to a 4-year deal, I believe. I kind of saw him when he first was on the roster. He was a guy who was kind of bouncing around the G League, I believe. He's a young guy, but 23, I think. I didn't see him as maybe somebody that was going to be part of the future, but you guys gave him a 4-year deal. Tell us about his contributions. He gave you 17 last night. Now, there's some games when he doesn't play as much. What is the growth of Justin Champagne?
I appreciate you asking, especially because he doesn't get enough kind of recognition. He's kind of the first guy who fully went through our entire program. We acquired him on a two-way contract in March last year. And it was like, hey, he's got some talent. Our scouts did a great job evaluating him. He's got a little toughness. And he can play multiple positions. Let's see what we can do with him. And played towards the end of the year with the go-go. Went through an entire summer with us in the summer development program. Played summer league. Just fully bought into everything. And then started the year again with the go-go. And was just ready to play and bought into his player development system and be just improved as a shooter. But early on in training camp, he was someone that picked up on the offense, was always cutting, getting the offensive rebounds that you're seeing now, making the hustle points, and just showing some toughness. And through a few of the injuries early on, we got to throw him in different lineups, and you can kind of use him as a versatile Swiss Army knife. And with Bilal being out, coach has been able to kind of give him minutes again. And he had a very similar impact when Kyle was out early in the year. So he's just a tough, gritty, all-about-the-team type player. don't have to run a lot of stuff for him. He's just going to get it done and really compete. So we're happy to get him off that two-way contract and on a full team contract now.
All right, here's a grasper question, but when it comes to the lottery, there's usually a representative for the team.
Yes.
True. I don't know who's going to be the representative of the team, but junkies are available.
We are available. Good luck, too.
I'm a mush. I can't go. I can't go. I can't go represent the Wizards because then they'd get the fifth pick, and then people would be at my house with torches and pitchforks. And I can't have that, Will.
Yeah. We haven't made a decision on that yet. We got to get through the regular season first, but I'll keep you guys in mind.
All right, okay, keep good, us in mind. Good. Excellent. Well, you can leave cakes at home.
Yeah, put us on the short list.
All right, good stuff, Will. That's Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, powered by Verizon. Thanks, Will. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yep, yeah, you too, Matt.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have our tribute to John Feinstein. Then his colleagues are going to join us, Barry Zvaluga from The Washington Post at 8:25, Mike Wilbon at 9 o'clock. Here on the Junkies.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Did make it back there before the Will Dawkins interview. We were joking that maybe you left because you left your backpack here. You got here a couple minutes before 6, and you're like, I left my phone. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if his phone was actually in his backpack, which you left?
Well, I mean,
so I called the phone.
I heard I was driving.
Just thinking we were going to hear it ring.
But here's the thing. So I was listening when I was driving. This is really like, there's so many things. We're so connected to our phones. So I'm traveling today, right? I'm going to the airport. And I was trying to figure out, is there a permutation or a way I can travel without a phone? And I go, I don't even think there is, because like I'm going to Joe P's, but I don't know Joe P's number. First of all, I'd have to, I'd get like, even if I got a burner phone.
Yeah.
I mean, how am I going to contact them?
Hey, where's he be? I get this strange call from this number I've never seen.
I don't even
before.
Know where I'm going. I'm going to Fort Myers and Joe P's going to pick me up. But right. If I don't have a phone.
Yeah, you need your phone.
I can't even contact him. Yeah. He doesn't have Instagram.
Your phone is vital. You can't travel without
it. I'm driving home. I've never left the station at 6 a.m.
Right.
And so, because I got here when I realized, and I'll explain to you, and you guys will mock me, but I think you'll understand why I left my phone. I'm on the right going home, and I don't have my phone. So now I don't really have navigation. There's traffic, so I'm trying to navigate around traffic.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, I can't even use my Waze because my phone's not with me. Mm-hmm. So I do have the built-in navigation in the car.
Yeah.
It's not as good
right.
as like Waze and the apps. So I barely get home because there's all this traffic, and I'm going different ways that I'm not familiar with through the city to try to get home as fast as I can. So here's what happened. So obviously we're all kind of traumatized by the Feinstein news. I know personally I was on the third hole at Norbeck when I got the text from CK that we all got. And I think I was maybe 10 minutes late to see the text. Hit two silly shots afterwards. I was able to gather myself, okay? Because that is a positive thing.
Sure, John would have been proud.
He would have been proud.
Two good shots.
In honor of John.
He would have been proud of that 6-iron I punched right up on the green.
Did you do a ceremonial tee shot?
No. But just kind of devastating, and I think all of us, have similar thoughts. Like, John is just such a talented guy, and you see all of the tributes, and I mean, he's being described as a legend, and, I've had people in the industry tell me the guy was a titan, but complicated guys we all know. But all of us just sort of rocked because he was a true friend of the show.
Yep.
For, 15 years?
13 I mean,
you said 13
plus
years plus?
He was a fixture. He was a fixture on the show for... 13
he was
years.
A weekly guest for 13 years. Not sure if we had him on before the weekly spots, but he certainly
occasionally.
Yeah, he was certainly someone that I was kind of starstruck by the first time I met him, to be honest with you. So anyway, and we had up and down relationships, and I think a lot of people with him did. But here's how it relates to my phone. So I'm traveling today, and you guys know, I think we all kind of do the same thing. When you leave the house, you do the check your pockets, right?
Yep.
Got my phone, got my keys, got my wallet. Those are the things you always do.
Your top three.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple things going on. I got my mom at my house, and she was making sounds. So she distracted me a little bit, to be honest with you. And then I have my luggage. So I have my luggage in my hands, and I'm distracted, and I want to make sure I don't forget a bag. Mm-hmm. So I actually was focused on my luggage, and I had to make sure I had my golf bag. I had to make sure I had my suitcase. I had to make sure, and I didn't do the...
Yeah.
And then when I got in my car, this is how it relates to John. I'm trying to formulate my thoughts, as I think all of us have been over the last 24 hours, how to articulate my thoughts on John. And I just kind of drove in like a zombie state.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't realize until I got here, when I parked my car, I left my phone on my couch where I was doing show prep in the morning.
Right.
Just left it on the couch. I knew exactly where it was.
Mm-hmm.
There were two X factors, and I can't deal with X factors. I don't deal with change. I had two X factors. I had luggage, and I had the John thing in my brain.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't locked in.
You were distracted.
And I left my phone at home, and I blame John.
It's John's fault.
It's John's fault.
Yeah.
But he really, I know we're going to do a tribute. We've got a lot of audio that we're going to play here shortly. I know this. When John's first few books came out, I had all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of them. Everybody read Season on the Brink. I had that. I made sure years later that I actually went back and bought that book because I didn't save it.
Right. Need to have it in the collection.
But I know the producers are freaking out. They want to save this for later. It's just, it's kind of, I think, rocked. Everybody.
So many people.
So many people have been texting us and tweeting us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at our Facebook page. There's 294 comments.
Yeah.
That's a lot for our page. I mean, occasionally, a Victory Monday gets that many comments, but I put that up last night right around 7 o'clock, and you've got 294 responses already. Same thing on Instagram, same thing on Twitter, as you said. So we're going to have our kind of our official tribute with some of the clips that we've enjoyed over the years with John. I mean, 13 years he came on this show every Friday and contributed to the show. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. One thing we kind of wanted to touch on just briefly in the world of sports was this back and forth between DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. And DeMarcus Lawrence had been a mainstay of that Cowboys defense for years. Had a Liz Frank injury. Maybe that's why the Cowboys didn't want to give him a big bag of money. But he lands in Seattle to play with the Seahawks. And I'm paraphrasing, but he makes a comment that the reason he left Dallas and joined the Seahawks was to win a Super Bowl. He didn't think he could win one in Dallas.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yep. Micah didn't like that.
Micah, yeah, he bristled at that. And then the war of words ensued.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
So wow. he chose the team that just inked Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Thinking that's a better opportunity to go to a Super Bowl.
What does that tell you, though? What does that tell you about the poop show that Dallas is?
He knows that Dallas is poorly run by Jerry Jones, that Jerry Jones is still clinging to power and running the front office, which, as a Commanders fan, you love because the Commanders are actually doing it right by letting a real legitimate GM in Peters run the show, not the owner do it.
But is he right? Is Seattle closer? Because the year before, in 2023, with Dak Prescott, and we know that they haven't been, they are actually in the NFC, the worst team in terms of getting the NFC championship. I'm not phrasing it right, but every other team has been to an NFC championship game more recently than Dallas. But in 2023, they finished 12-5, the year that Dak Prescott was the runner-up to MVP. Seattle, Drab, fill me in, last year, 10 wins? 10-7?
Yep.
10 wins, yep. I don't understand what the issue, I mean, Seattle's one of the top, I don't know, 10 franchises in the NFL. They've got a zillion wins the last 20 years.
Right.
They do it over and over and over again. The Cowboys don't. I mean, it is what it is.
I would argue that neither one is particularly close, but I guess Seattle is
closer
than Dallas.
There's a lot of people that feel like Seattle is going to be very good next year.
Well, how are you feeling about Sam Darnold over Geno?
Not great. I've been here. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take a shot on him. $33 million a year for a guy who just went 14-3 or whatever it was. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
So you're back in?
Well, I was never really out. I mean, I love Geno, and I'm sad to see him go.
So he's, well, and DK.
But here's actually what they Lawrence told Micah that if he would have spent more time off Twitter, they would have been better.
Right.
They were like taking real personal shots at each other last night.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Lawrence is classless. I'll say that. I don't know if he's right or wrong, right? I probably guess he's right.
Why?
He's definitely classless because you don't trash your team on the way out. Like, just, you know, it's not your teammates. Yeah. To me, I have a problem with Lawrence.
So he was on a, Hawk Blogger, right?
I get it. He was doing a podcast.
He's trying to be fun with his new team and kind of the new guys who are covering the team. So he threw in, for sure, I'm not going to win a Super Bowl. It was kind of a throwaway comment.
I get it, but he's got to be a little more mindful, you know, I think, of his boys. I think he's a douche.
Or maybe he just doesn't care about those guys anymore. Now I mean, it's just like, you know what?
I know.
I'm out of Dallas now. I don't really care about Micah Parsons.
Don't you take the classier road, though?
The higher road.
Okay, but what about
even
Parsons?
If that's true. What?
So if Parsons then...
I don't blame Parsons responding.
He then says, this what rejection and envy look like.
Right.
This some clown S.
I don't blame Parsons for reacting to the guy. Basically, he's taking a shot at the organization and him. I actually don't blame. If I had to assign blame, I blame Lawrence. He started the whole thing.
Well, Lawrence is also probably pissed off because they didn't offer him the deal that he thought he was worth.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because if you look at previous comments, he said he would have been thrilled. It would have been a dream come true to stay with. That's why he's a clown.
That's right. If Lawrence would have signed a deal similar to what Seattle offered, he'd probably say, I'm here because we want to win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a clown. That's my point. He's a clown. He might also have a point that Micah's too involved in Twitter or whatever, but it's irrelevant because
this guy started it.
Would have been better if he would have said, you know, I'm going to Seattle. I want to build something here and make a run at a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, I'm not going to win it.
I know for sure they ain't going to win one. And now you're trashing not only the organization, you're trashing your boys, presumably. You know what I mean? Like, on some level, there is...
Very direct. What he said was very direct.
Right.
Yeah.
He could have just been boring and said, look, I'm looking forward to doing big things here in Seattle.
But a lot of times these guys, they don't think about what they're saying.
Right.
Well, that's exactly right.
He just didn't think about it.
Is it? Well, yeah.
I mean, he might believe that.
I don't doubt he believes it. He didn't take the high road. He took the low road.
No,
and it took shots at, you know, I mean, it's just an unnecessary shot at your teammates 5 minutes ago, in my opinion.
I think you have a crush on Micah Parsons, and you'll give him an excuse for whatever he says. Micah way escalated that.
Micah Parsons needs to take a high road too.
Yeah, you can't call you call your teammate for
you know what? Call him up
many
on a
years.
He's
a clown.
Call him up on a private conversation. Yeah.
All right, that's a fair criticism, but I say Lawrence started it. I hear what you're saying. I think that's fair, but I think Lawrence started it, and I would be defensive too, probably. Although I wish I would take the high road, but I don't always do. I don't know. I just think Lawrence is a douche. And I do think Micah Parsons is a monster. Player.
Great player.
Of course he is.
The irony of this is his contract is up next year, and maybe he's going to do what DeMarcus Lawrence does and find another team.
There's nothing wrong with finding another team. It's just when you articulate it the way he did, you're taking a shot not only at Jerry, but you're taking a shot at guys who – I know people don't like the phrase, but you go to war with, like, right? Every Sunday, every football game, you go into battle with those guys. I don't know. I think it was not cool.
They both should have just zipped it.
Yeah.
You know, especially Lawrence, but
they wanted we'll to see escalate what happens. It. Both parties escalated it.
Yeah. That's social media for you.
Yep. Gets you in trouble.
Still to come on the show, we've got Mike Wilbon. He'll join us at 9 to talk about John Feinstein. Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post, his colleague, joins us at 8:25. But next, we'll pay tribute to the late, great John Feinstein here on the Junkies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.